welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I'm intrigued by Nordic walking, not least as it's rapidly growing in popularity in the UK. Some of the questions that come to my mind include: what attracts people to go for a walk using poles? What advantages do the poles bring? What health benefits does it accrue? And doesn't one feel a tad self-conscious? I joined a Nordic walking training session in nearby Lewisham with other novices under the tuition of Sonia Brennan. I asked Sonia to tell her story of how she came to taking up Nordic walking, and in the interview that you're about to hear, she answers my questions as well as candidly revealing her motivations.
We're walking around Manor House Gardens, and listeners might be able to hear a slight clicking, rustling noise because I'm actually walking with Sonia and she's got her Nordic poles. So could you just tell us a little bit about the poles?
They're set to a certain height, so you can actually stretch your arms out. They're not trekking, having bent arms, having full stretched arms. So we work from the shoulders, in aid for speed walking. Not that everyone speed walks.
But we're going on a good healthy clip at the moment. Now, what gear are we in at the moment?
Gear 2.
Now, you talk about gears when you're teaching us, because yes. I have to reveal to listeners that I've actually gone through a very tough and rigorous, 4-week course. It's extended to 5 weeks because of the bad weather, but
yes.
Not because of my bad play. But so tell us about the different gears and how you teach people to Nordic walk.
Well, gear 1 is just normal walking, so your poles make no difference. Gear 2, you're rolling through your feet, pressing through the poles as a just a nice leisurely pace. The next gear is gear 3, but it's more like a bit like speed walking, but you're pressing further back with the arms and you make your arms work more.
It's really important that we say to people that you move your right arm and your left foot at the same time. It's marching, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, isn't it really what soldiers have been doing for years?
Well, yes, exactly. But because we're using the poles, we're actually putting more pressure into our arms. So you're using your arms and your chest muscles. Whereas normal walking, you don't use those muscles.
Let's talk about the poles now themselves. How long and tall are the poles, the ones you're using?
Well, it does depend on everyone's individual height. Say if you're 5'4", then you'd have your pole set to 110. This is just as an average. So each person may find it slightly smaller. It depends on their whole body structure.
The poles themselves, at the bottom end, we've got sort of rubber paws.
Yes.
That's what you call them.
But that's just if we're walking on tarmac. Pull them off if you're on grass or on muddy surfaces. It helps the poles to stick into something.
Let's talk about how you grip the poles, because they're not trekking poles, and I think people get very confused.
They do, because they're also Nordic trekking poles are classed as Nordic walking. So you've got to really be careful from that as well. They're different straps. The Nordic walking ones have like a harness that goes around the hand, as we use the straps more than the holding tight.
Okay, because that was something I got caught out with, because fortunately the gloves actually have left and right on them, but if
yes.
You're a moron like me, you miss that and spend a good 10 minutes trying to work out why on earth you can't attach your pole to your glove.
That's right.
The pole itself, it's quick release, but not really quick release, because you have to have both hands to do it.
That's right. It depends on your individual poles, what poles you go for as well. Well, most have a button you press, and some have a hook like mine is. You use the ones with a clip that you pressed in. Some don't even release the handles.
When you go cross-country skiing, which is very similar to cross-country skiing, I guess, without the snow or the ski.
Although it's meant to be a spin-off from the cross-country skiing, I don't think it's quite the same.
Okay, so all we need is a pair of poles and swing our arms like a soldier marching into
time.
That's
right.
And we've really basically cracked it, have we?
You don't bend your arms.
You don't bend your arms.
A lot of people want to bend their arms. You don't bend your arms. You always work from the shoulders.
And also you were teaching us how we had to sort of roll through our foot. Can you try and explain that?
When you put your heel down first, you actually make each part of your foot touch the ground rather than step in a stage. So you end up onto your toes. When you go onto your toes, you're able to get over your poles. If you stay flat-footed, you won't get over your poles.
So you have your poles at a certain length so that you can actually put pressure down on the pole.
That's right.
And lift yourself up onto your toes
as
you go through every pace.
That's correct.
And is that gear 3 or gear 2?
That's still gear 2 and upwards. Gear 1, you're flat foot, basically. You don't roll through your feet.
Now, OK, you mentioned 5'4". You wouldn't happen to be 5'4" yourself.
No, I'm 5'1".
You're 5'1". OK, so for a 5'1" person, tell us a little bit about how quickly you can go.
I haven't measured my speed.
Oh, yeah, OK, so you don't do it for speed.
I've got fitness trackers on, but I don't know the speed that I walk.
So what are the fitness trackers doing?
Just counting how many steps you do.
So tell us a little bit about how much Nordic walking do you actually do yourself per week?
I do a 2 to 4 hour session on a Wednesday. I do an hour on a Thursday, hour on a Friday, 2 hours on a Saturday.
And each time you're doing that with groups of people, showing them how to do Nordic walking?
Yes.
You're a bit of a pro at this, aren't you?
I wouldn't call it a pro, but... Yeah, I like to do long walks, and my Wednesday is a nice long walk.
What's a long walk?
I did 4 hours last week, or 5 hours actually, and that was walking from Laderwell Fields to Beckenham Place Park, around the park, and then back again. And plus, I walked to the park and walked back.
And you are walking at more than 4 miles an hour. I can tell people that because I'm sort of out of breath already, trying to keep up. And I'm a tall man compared to you. But you're doing this all in Lewisham, and you've been doing it for Lewisham, for the council, or for how's it all worked out? How can people get involved?
I used to do it under the NHS. And we offer a free programme to anyone who wants to join. Basically, they've just got to email me to get a book of place.
And that's it? And people just turn up like I did?
Yes.
Are they as sceptical as I was?
Yes.
They are?
Very much so. It's only after one or two sessions they actually think yes or no, if they like it or not. Well, what did you think?
I did. I really enjoyed it.
Because you're a normal walker anyway.
Well, I don't know about normal, but I am a walker.
But you do a walker.
Yeah, I do lots of walking.
So there you go.
I also thought I'd feel a bit of a prat actually walking on with poles in a street in Lewisham. But I think it was partly because I was doing it with other people and they were equally, you know, perhaps feeling self-conscious. But is self-consciousness come into it? I mean, do you...
I think if you're trying to do it on your own, it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I quite often do it on my own now. But I started off on my own. But
yeah.
Once I'd done my learn-to session, I was doing it on my own. As soon as I got my poles, I wanted to keep using them.
That's a very good introduction for you to telling us. Why did you ever get to where you are? And have you always been a Nordic walker? So,
no,
so
I
how haven't. Did it all begin?
Well, in 2013, I was severely obese. I had a health check. Yeah, everything was bad for me. My cholesterol was high, my blood pressure was high, almost going on to diabetes, and I had to do something about it.
Do you know how you got to that stage? I mean, were you aware that you were getting obese? I mean, was it a...
I was, because I've had a lot of trouble with my left knee. After 2012, I, like, just crumbled because I couldn't walk. And doctors are doing everything, but they couldn't do anything.
This is incredible, because we're going on at a huge pace. You're covering many miles a week, so
yeah.
And that's only within 5 or 6 years. That's extraordinary. So come on, there's a story to tell. I'm going to get it out of this. So what happened in 2013? What even prompted you? What was the? It was the health check was the frightener, was it?
Yes. So I started doing just a normal walk, not Nordic walking, a normal walk with my brother. 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. And we'd walk
was
for an hour. He was big.
Overweight as well?
Yeah,
he was as well.
Having said that, I would walk up, we'd walk up my road and I'd have to stop 5 times to get up my hill. And that's just been severely out of breath. I didn't like that feeling. I just wanted to sort it out. But as I kept doing walking, the better I felt. Plus, I was sorting out how I was eating. And, well, now I'm where I am.
Okay, well, come on, there's a bit more to it than that. So,
all right.
So how did it begin? I mean, how did you... Well, you started your brother.
How
did you get on to Nordic walking?
Ah, well, at the time, the health check people put me on exercise programmes. One of them happened to be Nordic walking. So I tried it out.
What enticed you in the first place?
Because I kept plattering on losing weight. They were checking me weekly. I kept plattering, I wasn't losing weight, and then they'd say, oh, do another exercise on top of what you're doing. They kept on giving me different things to try out. And so I tried the Nordic walking out, I tried the aqua aerobics out, and I did a boot camp. And to this day, I do all of them. Plus, I now teach them as well. So.
Okay.
Yes.
So you somehow got the bug, and that's brilliant.
Eh? Yes.
Because you feel much healthier, and you're obviously, you're not obese by any stretch of the imagination. So where did you start, then? Was it in Lewisham itself?
I started at Ladywell Fields in Lewisham with a person called Lara. And she still teaches there every Saturday. Now,
right.
I've become one of her instructors to help her out.
What do you have to do to become an instructor?
I did a 3-day course. Each day is like 10 hours long.
And so what did you learn in instructing?
Basically, learning what to do with each person, how to spot how people are going wrong, and how to correct them.
And what are the most obvious things that people do when they're trying to grasp that technique?
Bending arms, holding the poles far too tight. You're meant to have a loose grip. If you look, my hands actually roll through. They're not rigid. Hold it loose. Allow your hands to roll up and down. Then your hands can move up and down. Without gripping poles too tight, then your arm don't bend. It's actually harder to explain it than to actually do it.
So you learnt how to spot imperfections and how to correct them and how to manage a group and motivate people. What are the sort of keys, tricks they recommend about motivating people?
Well, once you've got there, you've just got to try and keep them enjoying what they're doing. It isn't for everybody, I know that.
One of the things that which I noticed was that you got everyone to do stretches before and afterwards.
Yeah.
Which means that it makes it more of an activity, not just turning up for a walk.
The whole point is it's to immobilise, loosen up all the muscle groups so you don't get an injury.
And then afterwards, the stretching as
and
well.
And then the stretching is to take out the lactic acid out of your muscles. And so you don't have pain afterwards.
You just feel knackered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in Lewisham, and with yourself and Lara, are there other Nordic trainers as well in Lewisham?
There are, but I don't know them all. The ones in our group, I've got my brother Russell, he's also...
So he was the original brother who was walking around with you?
That's right.
Oh, brilliant. So he's taking it up too?
He became an instructor a year after I did, but he doesn't teach groups unless he takes over one of my groups one day. So on a Friday evening, he helps me out. So he may decide, actually, can I do a teaching group? I don't mind that because then it keeps him involved. So he keeps practice.
What I need to do next is I need to ask you to recommend somewhere to go Nordic walking.
I like to go off fields if I can. I'd prefer to go in the countryside more.
And have you tried that yourself?
I haven't, but that's what I'd like to try, take a group one day.
I think we ought to talk about the sheer numbers of people who are doing Nordic walking in Lewisham. I mean, when I turned up, there were sort of about six, seven, eight of us doing the introductory start-up.
Yes. You're doing it during the week. At the weekends, there's more.
There were 15 or 20 people who were already going to go on a walk that morning with a couple of your voluntary leaders.
Yes. We've got about 35 people as a regular for that walk. It's that they just can't always do every week.
And Lady Wellfields?
Lady Wellfields, we normally have a good 40 turn up each weekend. The second class doesn't have as many turn up. That has about between 10 and 12. The first class at 9 a.m. has a lot of people turn up.
And you lend people poles to begin with?
Yes.
And how much are poles per se?
Well, you can get cheap and cheerful sets for about £20 plus. More expensive ones. I have a Leckie set here, the top end of the range. And they can arrange from about £80 plus.
But, I mean, it's not an impossible barrier for people to get into. First of all, they can come do some walking with you. And elsewhere, are the boroughs doing it?
I believe other boroughs. I mean, in round here, you've got Silverfit, who are also doing Nordic walking.
But there's a chance of turning up, doing some walking for free, borrow some poles,
yes,
get some training, advice about how to do it, and join a group, and you can pretty much do that for nothing.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And then maybe a £20-30 expense on your poles. Nothing more. You don't have to buy fancy shoes or clothes with armpits that cut away. Wicking.
You will need to have clothing fit for the weather. If it's raining, you need to have rainproof clothing.
When people roll up onto a course, they have to sort of sign some sort of form that tells you about their...
Yes, a health questionnaire.
Who should be doing this Nordic walking, and is it really accessible to everyone?
If you can walk, then you can have a try at it. If you've got bad limbs, hip, still try it, as the poles take a lot of pressure off your body. As you've seen, I do a lot of walking now, and as I told you at the beginning, I was suffering problems with my left knee. I have a twisted kneecap and rheumatoid arthritis in my left knee. So sometimes it can get extremely painful, but the Nordic walking doesn't give me the pain.
It doesn't exacerbate it, and what's more, it strengthens the whole body around it.
Yes, so all the time I'm walking, I'm actually strengthening my knee. I've had two people with bad knees, just recently had knee replacements. They've started Nordic walking and now no longer using her walking sticks. They've strengthened up their muscles through Nordic walking and now they're walking free again.
Well, people who, I know, angina, heart issues, low blood pressure. Or whatever.
You've got all those sort of conditions, providing you're stable and you're under the correct medication, you'll be allowed to join. If you're not stable, then I would advise you to check back with your doctor first. We do need to know how to treat each person, and you really do need to do the warm-up exercises.
Having done the warm-up exercises, they're not a problem, folks. You know, even I can manage them.
It's gentle. It's really just to manipulate all your joints and muscles, because we don't want you to get harm.
And Nordic walking is open to all ages, is it?
We do it from 18 plus. That's our insurance.
But you have people who are in their 80s as well, don't you?
Yes, 80s, 90s. In Bellingham, we've got people in their 90s. In Ladywell, we've got people in their 90s.
It's extraordinary.
They can walk really fast. I have trouble keeping up with some of my fast people, I tell you. And I do a lot of activities.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Sonia Brennan. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of EZtronic.